Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
The Clay County Corner here in downtown Salina, Tennessee, right in the middle of the square here at 100 Courthouse Square at the historic old Clay County Courthouse for our regular Thursday morning get-together around your cup of coffee and around the microphone here for us. We're going to have an interesting show today. Got Dr. Doug Young with us, and the County Mayor Dale Reagan will be up in a few minutes, and We may wander off on all kinds of things, but I know we've got to kind of do maybe a year-end roundup of some of the things that have been important to the county this past year, and talk about some of the things coming up during this next period of time coming up. And we'll be doing that here in a few minutes. I haven't got much local news. Well, we have got some school news. I know that our basketball team has won a couple of games since we've been back. The boys have, I think maybe the girls lost one and won one, so it's been a pretty good week in that, and we're getting ready to head into kind of a busy weekend and start of next week for our basketball teams. I know tonight, I think, but they travel up to Jamestown to York Institute for a couple of games, and then they've got a single game Friday night at home with the boys only. I think there's some type of medical problem or something with the girls team down there, and not playing girls, so it's just a single boys game on Friday night, and that game will be starting at 6 o'clock. And then next Monday night and Tuesday night we have the Clay County High School Christmas Classic for the first time we've had any kind of tournament like that here since back in the mid-80s, I guess. But we've got about, I think, five different schools coming in to join us here with kind of a round-robin classic. I know Clay County will be playing Hampton from over in East Tennessee and Bradley Central out of East Tennessee on Monday night and Tuesday night. I think we've got games starting about 3:30 in the afternoon. So everyone, if you want to get your fill of basketball these next few days, come over to Salina and join us. And let's see, I don't think we've got any major events going on this weekend. I think our pop-up store is still going off and on here at the courthouse. Our three young ladies with their merchandise here, and I think they're going to be with us for a little while. So just keep looking for their sign here on either side of the courthouse. And when you see it, come in, and they get new merchandise in every week. So they're going to be with us for a little while here. We'll be looking forward to that. And, of course, before we go any farther, we want to thank the folks that make this show possible here each Friday morning, that being the Three Star Committee, the Chamber of Commerce, that helped sponsor this, and then also all of the merchants and folks here in and around Clay County that helped sponsor this. And we really appreciate that. We keep reminding everyone not to take all their money to Cookeville, to leave some of it here at home and shop small every weekend. I know we had a great weekend with that event, and we just appreciate everyone that comes in and spends their money at home. And with that, I think we'll be giving away our birthday cake here during the show. And so don't forget that, and don't forget to call in 931-243-5574 to get your name on that list. And with that, we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
A state debris burn permit is required for outdoor burning through May 15th, where local restrictions do not apply. Get your leaf and brush pile burn permit free, fast, and easy from your mobile device 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time at burnsafetn.org. Where internet access is limited, call 877-350-2876 Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Call volume can be high with long wait times, so get a permit online if possible. Again, that website is burnsafetn.org. Remember, fire prevention begins with you.
Welcome back, everyone. A very, very welcome sight. I think this may be my reward for guiding her toward the vineyard is for the Muscadine grapes. I thank Miss Lisa for that. That'll go great with my toast and scrambled eggs and bacon in the morning. Along with, I think I've got some boysenberry, and I've got some blackberry, and some Concord grape jelly that I work on. So I also brought me my annual calendar of classic cars. So I'll be fixed up, and I'll be able to keep up with the date. Remember that we have the radio show here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, and I need to correct myself. We don't give away cakes anymore. We give away a birthday prize. I think maybe the second mistake I've made this year, but I think I'm doing pretty good. So but with that, I've got my guest here with me this morning. Mayor Reagan, like I said, made in with me a can of jelly, so he's a welcome sight. And Dr. Young, he made over a few minutes ago. So I don't know, guys, where are we going to start this morning?
Well, say good morning, and thank you, Thomas, for the invitation, as always. And also, the sheriff was down at my office, and I invited him to come up, and he said he may walk in a few minutes, because I know this is the time of the year that around the holidays that you get a lot of things that people's scams and stuff like that are being, called, especially our elderly population and everything. And I thought he might want to touch on that a little bit and everything. And he said he would try to maybe walk in here in a few minutes.
That sounds great. So we're going to have a good lineup this morning, looks like. And we've got here on the other microphone, Dr. Young.
Well, I don't know where we want to start. Do we want to start at what we've accomplished in this past year? Can we cover that in just a few minutes?
Well, we could. We can take as long as we want.
But what have we accomplished this year? I know at the chamber we're administering several grants. I always want to talk about those things so people will know what's coming down the pike. We've got a three-star grant that we're administering right now dealing with the Donaldson Park, and we're in the process of painting the fence up there. I was surprised to find that there was a Rust-Oleum paint that works well on old rusted out fences and brings them back to life.
Well, now, there's one thing you don't want to do on those fences, spray paint them.
No. It'd probably take 99% more paint if you did that.
You don't want to be on the other side, that's for sure.
You tend to paint a lot of, I think... The mayor, I think, maybe one of the crews here has done that one. I think the water department here in Salina did that a few years ago and painted a fence that had vehicles sitting on the other side.
Yeah, they did.
Go ahead, Dr. Young.
And then this spring, early spring, we'll start resurfacing the the ball courts, and we've done some work on lighting already. Justin Rich, I think, has taken some charge of that, and he's done a good job with it. And then with the money we have left over, we'll be looking at playground equipment or a splash pad or maybe even having enough money left over to stain some of the pavilions up there. And so we're gonna start making a difference with the park committee, and they've got a lot of things planned to improve the park. So by this time next year, when we're giving an annual report, the Donaldson Park ought to be up and running and be in a whole lot better shape than it's in right now.
And they've got a big fundraiser, haven't they?
They do have a fundraiser.
What did buy brick or?
It has to do with bricks. I've seen that. We'll probably need to get Carol Abney in here.
Yeah, I'm looking at Carol on that. I think they're doing something, a memorial brick that they're doing up there.
We also have a signage grant that, again, Justin Rich is taking the lead on that. And we will soon have coming into Salina from every direction a welcome sign, welcome to Salina. Then we'll still have several thousand dollars left over for some other projects, and we're looking at the possibility of improving some other areas with that grant. Then if you happen to be traveling out on I-40 coming from Nashville, you might notice that there's a new billboard about Salina, Clay County, and Del Hollow Lake just before you get to Baxter. And hopefully we're wanting to get our fishermen coming in from the west to turn right in Baxter and come on down to Clay County and this end of the lake. Then we have kind of winding up the Foundation for Rural Services grant. That was a $5,000 grant for the Senior Citizen Center, to allow senior citizens to be trained in social media so they could communicate with their family during these pandemic times. And speaking of pandemic times, it looks like it's not through with us.
No.
We've got things still popping up here in Clay County. And, of course, one of our elected officials, T. Kittle Smith, is in bad shape, and we need to ask for everybody's prayers for him and anybody else who's suffering from that dread disease. But we also have a murals grant that...
We're buying a mural?
We're going to get a mural.
Oh, I thought you said a mule there.
Oh. Can't get grants for mules anymore. You used to be able to, but you can't do that anymore. So we'll hopefully for this time next year, we'll have a new mural up and maybe another one, because it looks like there might be another mural grant coming down the pipe. And sad to say, we have administered, I think, three downtown grants, and we went after this last one. And what we're wanting to do is go up East Lake Avenue with it. And they turned us down on that one, but they were very encouraging. In the next round, they'd take a look at us again and see if we can qualify to get that area of Salina done. I know that in the Upper Cumberland, none of the Upper Cumberland counties got a downtown grant in this particular round. And so I really feel good about maybe being able to get that next time.
You know, it's been kind of hard to write grants for downtown because of, you know, the grants that we've gotten in the past down here that we, you know, we've kind of filled our basket up down here, haven't we?
We have. We've touched with a downtown grant just almost every building in downtown Salina, and all the way up to the four-way stop on Brown Street. So, in some cases, the people who own the building could have gotten a grant to do the building, but they didn't choose to do so. And it was a really good grant. The grant was for 75% of the work that was done on the facade of the building, meaning the owner just had to put up 25%. But hopefully we'll get another one of those one of these days.
Do you think maybe if we put a crossroads out about Scott's Best Way, that we could call that downtown, since we would have a four-way stop there?
Well, what they tell me, we have too much of a gap between the last business, that'd be about the burger shop, or the little burger restaurant, and all the way up to Ollie's then. It's a big blank gap.
Well, it's really not a blank gap.
Yeah, there's a
the craft,
pointed out to
the craft store,
the craft
there.
Store.
Right.
But anyway, they still didn't buy off on it, but they're going to look at it. And then let's go on to some other things, and then we'll come back later and talk about next year's possibility. Well, we can do that while I've got the floor. We're looking at another courthouse grant. We talked to those folks at the development district yesterday to get some assistance for writing that thing, because it's going to be a biggie. It's up to $100,000, and that would buy several windows for the courthouse. And they seem to like the idea, but we'll just have to wait and see how it turns out. We've got to February to submit the application to that grant. Then we're always looking for health care grants, whether it's to help with about anything. I know that in the Upper Cumberland now, they've got a new program going for senior citizens, where they can get online and be able to visit with their doctors online instead of having to go there. So we'll be looking at that program and see if there's something there that we might qualify for. And Mayor Reagan, we've got a ribbon cutting coming up on Monday at 10 o'clock at the new USB store in up at the subway. And so we'll be there to invite anybody that'd like to come out to that ribbon cutting to come on out. And we've got the largest pair of scissors that you've ever seen to cut that ribbon with.
That's U.S. Cellular phone office that moved from down under the bridge out there.
And we also want to welcome Spire Power Solutions. The Spire Power Solutions company has bought out the B&F plant, and they're beginning to get set up. Their new general manager up there is Tommy Benson. We've been able to meet with Tommy and have another meeting set up with him this afternoon. And so we're looking forward to being able to assist them to get up and running and hire more people. They're already hiring.
I think he had a projection number maybe that about how many people, new people they were looking to be hiring.
I think, Dale, didn't he talk about 35?
Yeah, their projection is by April of the coming year. That's what their hope of a projection is, that they could get, you know, that many more folks up there if everything works out and everything for them there.
And at yesterday's Upper Cumberland Development District meeting, I want to congratulate Mayor Reagan. We've got $2,358,959 in grant money for this year. That's a whole lot of grant money coming into Clay County.
Well, I think it's over a period of probably 5 or 6 years. But,
oh, was it?
Yeah,
it didn't give that out that I saw on the certificate. I thought it was.
But that's still an outstanding thing. It's not only just the, and also Mayor Collins got one as well for the city of Salina, because the development district, and that's one of the things I want to sort of put a plug in here for them, because they assist us and the majority of our grant writing and stuff. I know Dr. Young has a lot of connections with them on a daily basis over there, and I know Thomas, you do as well with Mark and everything with your courthouse grants and stuff that we get, and so they work very hard for us and for the county and the city and everything. So we want to give them a shout out and thank them and appreciate, you know, the efforts that they put forth to help us, and that's outstanding. I know that, you know, over the past several years we had, obtained some grants and secured grants and everything, and a lot of it was by their help and everything, by doing that.
All right. Is this grant, is it earmarked to a lot of different things, or is it?
Yeah, this is a combination of the grants that we have already gotten in the past and everything. You know, it's, and of course, they're willing and able to help us with our ARPA money that we've got that is coming down from the federal government, and to help us assist us in that and everything with the TDEC, the infrastructure grants and stuff that are going to be handed down for a lot of different projects and stuff that has to do with infrastructure. When you talk about infrastructure, you know, you talk, when I'm thinking of infrastructure, I think of course certainly water, sewer, road work and stuff like that and everything, but for some odd reason, they didn't include the highway department in this and everything. And we were able to, with the county commission, and I want to give them a big thank you for what they did at our last county commission meeting. I call it the governor support grant money that we get from the state. Has nothing to do with the ARPA money, and we were able to give our highway department $100,000 out of that to help him because his sales tax. Not sales tax, but gas tax and everything that that's how he operates. He operates
right.
Strictly off of gas
right.
tax. And of course, state aid money that he gets, you know, for bridge work and stuff like that and everything, but he don't get anything from as far
right.
as the property tax and stuff.
Right.
He gets all the gas tax money, and it was down probably $145,000 to $150,000, in 2019-2020 budget year. And, well, the end of 2019-2020, and of course 2020-2021 was where that, you know, the COVID hit us, and that, you
right.
know, his revenues were
people
down.
People had to stay home for a while.
Yeah, and so we were able to do that, and I thank the commissioners for doing that. I know Jason was very appreciative of that, and also we were able to do, and we may be running out. You may want to do a break here, Thomas.
Yes, just, I think
okay.
it's about that time.
All right, I'll shut
what
up.
Time is, I tell you what I could do when we take this break, go ahead and read our birthdays for today. We've only got three today. We've got Charlotte and Charles Smith celebrating an anniversary this week. Miss Peggy Davis celebrating
wow.
a birthday.
Happy birthday.
And I think also today, Junior Hammonds, I
yeah.
believe. I think I've said this before.
He's what, about 25?
Well, yeah. the gentleman that I am, you know, I don't want to tell Miss Peggy age, but I think she's about the same age as Junior, and he's turning 82 today.
Oh, well, okay, that's very discreet. Yeah.
But we'd like to wish all of them a very, very happy birthday today, and we'll be giving away our birthday gift here at the end of the show, and you can come over to the chamber office and pick up an envelope over there. It's got your gift in it. And with that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
A state debris burn permit is required for outdoor burning through May 15th, where local restrictions do not apply. Get your leaf and brush pile burn permit free, fast, and easy from your mobile device 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time at burnsafetn.org. Where internet access is limited, call 877-350-2876 Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Call volume can be high with long wait times, so get a permit online if possible. Again, that website is burnsafetn.org. Remember, fire prevention begins with you.
Welcome back, everyone. We've got all kinds of good conversation. The sheriff just walked in the door, and I thought he was here to arrest these two, but I reckon not. Mayor, you were right in the middle of some things you were
talking. Well, we're not done yet, so it may happen before the show's over with and everything. But, yeah, I was wanting to take this opportunity to thank the county commission because they made this possible, and I think the sheriff would probably echo that with me, that we were able to give an incentive bonus to the employees and everything through the governor support money, and the commissioners unanimously voted for that, and I thank them for that. We also, and going back to what we did, was talking about the highway department, that Jason lost revenue on the gas tax. We were able to give him the money to do his bonus for his employees as well, and also gave him some money to help him, you know, buy some gravel and whatever he needed, fuel and fuel costs and everything.
Well, you know, along the line there, something years ago that that's no longer on the gas pumps, there used to be a little sticker on there when the gas was about, I don't know, 40, 50 cents a gallon, that had down there, 19 cents of this is state tax. Now you put 19 cents on there and say that's state tax. That don't even look at the price of a gallon of gas now, does it?
No.
I hadn't seen any of them stick, and I'm wondering, I'd say the amount that the counties and whatever the states get on that tax, is it on a floating, if the price of gas goes up, is it a percentage of the gas, or is it a set amount? Either one of you guys know anything about
that? Well, I mean,
that?
It's floats as far as the amount of the gas goes up.
Course, that's what I was wondering.
You know, everything, but it can't go beyond what, you know, has been said.
So there's a limit, and no matter what the gas costs, the tax can only be this high.
Yeah,
but guys, we've got a big issue coming down the pike. More and more electric cars, and they're not paying a gas tax. And as we get more of those cars, who's going to pay to keep the roads up? So we're going to have to look at that, and somebody's going to be smart enough to figure out a way to tax the electric cars, I guess.
Well, has anybody seen the neat little post somewhere? The car charging station out on the highway somewhere or another that is being powered by a diesel generator.
That makes a lot of sense, don't it? But that's a good point because, I mean, you know, the electric cars, you know, they travel the same roads that, you know, that all the others do as well, and those roads are maintained in upkeep from generating from fossil fuel tax and everything. So, I mean, that's...
It looks like another thing where we're going to, if you're on an electric car, that they're going to put some type of meter on there for your mileage, and you're going to be paying a tax based on the number of miles you drive.
Yeah.
Something along that line, probably.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess they've got it figured out. A lot smarter than me and everything. But anyway, on the other, we had some more budget amendments that we did on our we were blessed to get a USDA grant to help offset some of the costs on our new roll-off truck that we got for the solid waste department, and we got $40,000 on that to help on that cost, or $44,000, I believe is what it was, and so we got that put through, as well as we did an amendment for our THDA housing project that we got going on. It was about $35,000 that we had to do for that and everything, and that money generates, and I think Thomas, me and you talked about this once before and everything, that how that works, that we get the invoice from the contractor and it goes through the process. It has to be approved, and then it has to come to my office. We have to approve it, and then it goes back to the state. The state has to look at it and approve it, and then finally it comes back to the county, and the county cuts the check to the contractor and everything, and that's a process of probably anywhere from 30 to who knows the days and stuff. So a contractor, that's why that they said that they're getting harder and harder to get contractors to to bid on those projects and everything, because, you know, they can't, you know, sometimes it's hard to tie up $130,000, you know, and then they submit, you know, like $50,000 bill that they need to get paid for it so that they can pay their expense and everything, and it takes them anywhere from 30 to 60 days to get it. So that's kind of tough on them and everything. So, but I do want, again, to shout out to the give the county commissioners a thank you for doing the incentive bonus for the county employees and everything. So I appreciate them doing that for us and everything. Also, there was another resolution that was brought up concerning building codes that we have out in the county, and it had to do with insulation of underneath the floors and stuff on the joists and everything, and I'm not really for sure exactly how all that works, but we had some of the contractors that, you know, that was creating a problem in the future for moisture buildup, and our building inspector, Marvin Dyer, he looked at it and he agreed with them. But he can't change anything. The county commission is the one that has to vote on that to change or to amend our policy, which we go by the national standard residential and commercial building codes. And so, but they can go back and they can amend that and put it in policy and everything. So the commissioners voted to do that and everything. So hopefully that helps some of the contractors and stuff out. Now, if the builder, if they still request they want that done, certainly they will do it. But it's not something that they have to do.
Okay, I saw something on the news last night that I thought was kind of interesting. Some of you guys may have seen it also, that there's building codes in, that you had to enter voluntarily by county about wind damage on houses. That there was in the code that the walls of the house had to be built to withstand, I believe it was like 100 mile an hour wind. And I noticed that we have that here in this county. But I looked over next door at Pickett County, who has suffered some of the worst tornado damage in this area in the past 10 years, I think probably than some of the counties like down in Macon, places like that didn't join that voluntarily. And I thought, well, golly, you know, I mean, that's... So we do have that protection.
Yep, it's under the national code and everything. That's what we go by here in Clay County and everything. So, and as I mentioned, I asked the sheriff this morning, he's down at the office, would he want to maybe stop by and maybe if there's any kind of... I know this time of the year is holiday season, and a lot of times, you know, especially our senior citizen population and stuff, and it's not just this time of the year, but it goes on all through the year, I'm sure, but... A lot of times you'll see scams and stuff like that they get, you know, approached with, and I thought if you wanted to maybe speak on something like that, maybe bring everybody up to date a little bit if there is any going out there now and everything, and then just to give him the opportunity to speak to the citizens as well and everything, because we're all in this together. And one thing about it, I sure do appreciate him, because he's constantly, if not... two or three times a week, most of the time he'll stop by the office and everything, and me and him talks on the... pretty much on a daily basis and everything, especially since we got this jail going on. That may be something he might give us a little update on that as well. So if I can, I'll
let him slide down there a little bit and get him as close to the microphone as we can. He's got a pretty good voice.
Yeah, I'm pretty loud as it is.
I mean, and he's got the face and the dress code for a radio show pretty good.
Well, I don't know about that. Now, the mayor was talking about some scams going on. We typically always have scams on a yearly basis. It don't necessarily just go at Christmas time, but I try to tell people not to give any information out over the phone. A lot of these people call and they'll claim that you've won something, but they need you to go make a deposit or send them a money card or go to the Walgreens and get a MoneyGram card or a little debit card, but... it boils down to not giving any information over the phone, no bank information, and Social Security, don't contact you by phone.
And don't send anybody any money if you don't know who they are.
Absolutely. There's been the scams of a relative. You've got a relative that's happened to went on vacation. They've been locked up abroad or wherever. We need the money to bail them out. There's a lot of people fall for stuff like that, so... It's just
well, you know, I think they just throw stuff out, knowing that maybe 99% of the people are going to say no, but there's going to be that 1% in there that maybe
makes a problem.
Well, maybe they have done something they're not really proud of or something, and they think, golly.
Well, these people are sitting across seas somewhere, and that's all they do all day long is call people. And if you know, if they get 10 people in a day's time to bite, then they've made money, and they move on to the next day.
Well, we're getting one through the computer at the chamber. It's billing us for Norton or billing us for something, and it's for a renewal. Well, then it's got a number for us to call if we need additional information. And the idea is for you to call them, and then while they've got you on the phone, they're going to sell you something.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times if you'll take your mouse from your computer and roll your mouse over the who sent the email, it'll give you the email that it was sent from, and a lot of times you can determine from that email whether or not it's a scam or not.
And, you know, and so many times, you know, you'll get some of this stuff, and down at the bottom of it, it'll say, if you don't want to receive this anymore, unsubscribe. When you unsubscribe, what you're doing is say, hey, you've got a real address. Keep load them up now.
Well, I believe that.
I made that mistake. I decided I'd get rid of some of that email, and boy, did they start piling on then.
Now, and I'm going to ask the sheriff something, too. I don't know whether it was a scam or not, but for years and years here, we had this Sheriff's Association that would start calling folks all over Clay County to contribute to a calendar. And if you contributed that calendar, you got a little sticker to go on your bumper, which supposedly gave you an inside if you ever got stopped for a parking ticket or speeding or something. I haven't seen any of those in a while, Sheriff.
So there is the Tennessee Sheriff's Association does do a donation or sponsorship, but it's a mail out. It's a letter you receive in the mail. Their home office is in Lebanon, Tennessee. But we do not call and solicit fundraisers over the phone. So
I think it's been a while since we've gotten any of those. I think they've clamped down on them.
They have.
Not a good idea to scam the police department.
No. But it happens. There's a lot of people that's willing to give and try to help.
Yes.
In years past, we've had it's called like a teddy bear program where these scammers try to get you to give money, and the police officers give out teddy bears and stuff like that. That's something a person doesn't need to fall for. So, but if there's anybody that has any questions as far as scams or donations and stuff like that that has to do with law enforcement, feel free to contact the sheriff's office, and we'll fill you in on what we know. But obviously, there's new ones out there that we're not aware of.
And you know, those folks that do those scams, they have no moral values at all. Because, you know, they're already lined up in Mayfield, Kentucky, calling people already, you know, hey, you need someone to come clean your lot off. You need this, you need that, you know. And someone will actually come by and they'll say, well, now I'll need a $500 deposit so I get my equipment stuff out here so we can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a cold-hearted bunch of people.
There is. And a person, before you donate to a GoFundMe account online, you need to really make sure that where that money's going to, because it's real easy to just create a GoFundMe account and it to go into their pocket and not to where it's intended to go. So there's actual ways and regulations when you start up a charity or a donation thing that you're supposed to go through the state and register and all that, but that's not always done. So
okay, let's take a little short break here. Work in a few words from our sponsors and come back, and we'll let the sheriff maybe give us a little update on what's going on with our building project here. I'm sure we've got a little bit of news on that. The process is moving along, and we'll be back just in a few minutes with these three gentlemen here with me this morning.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
A state debris burn permit is required for outdoor burning through May 15th, where local restrictions do not apply. Get your leaf and brush pile burn permit free, fast, and easy from your mobile device 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time at burnsafetn.org. Where internet access is limited, call 877-350-2876 Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Call volume can be high with long wait times, so get a permit online if possible. Again, that website is burnsafetn.org. Remember, fire prevention begins with you.
Welcome back, everyone. We've got, like, we had a little discussion offline here. The mayor wanted to remind everyone that we do have a new county judge appointed, Mr. Jimmy White, who's going to finish out Ms. Diane.
We had three candidates that put in for that. That was Mr. Burgle and Mr. Rocco, and then, of course, Mr. White. And then the county commission appointed Mr. White to that position, which he will take office January 1. And so we want to thank the other candidates for putting in for it, and certainly want to congratulate Judge White.
Okay, now, Sheriff, let's talk a little bit about the jail a little bit, how it's coming along.
Okay. Well, as of right now, it's scheduled early part of February to go out to bid. So we should know. I think it's about a 60-day process. Stays out to bid. You get the contractors to look at all the plans and stuff. So was it January, March, April, the end of April, maybe 1st of May, we should have bids come in. And we'll just go from there. You know, we know what it's going to cost.
And, you know, on that, I know that bid has to be published in, I think, it has to be published in the local newspaper or any newspaper the announcement of those bids.
I'm not 100% sure the mayor may be able to.
Architect and engineer, and that's part of the phases that they have that we pay them to do, and they will advertise that. It goes out into a state bid thing, and they'll have folks that are contractors are probably out from Memphis and Knoxville or wherever, you know, will put submit bids to that and everything, but like the sheriff said, you know, hopefully that, you know, it'll come back in and we'll stay within our budget, but if it don't, then we got to back up and we got to repond again and look at things and everything, because the design that the sheriff and the architect's firm and the state, the CTAS has been hitting us with that and everything, so they have cut it to the bare minimum, so hopefully, Lord be our helper, that thing will come within 7.5 that we've got scheduled as a budget for that and everything.
So a lot of people's ask a question about, you know, they're paying this wheel tax, where's that money going? And, so I've tried to answer all the questions that's been asked to me. You know, that money's in a reserve account. It can't be spent for nothing but the jail and operational costs. You know, another thing is people say, well, why are you building the jail so big? Well, you're operational side of the jail, your booking area, your intake, and your administrative staff, that's as bare bones as it can be. You can cut down on the numbers, but you're not cutting down on the cost of the facility when you're talking about a dormitory-style jail. You know, you can cut out 20 beds, but you're only talking about probably anywhere from $150,000 to $300,000 cut, and that's not going to cut the big number out of where the meat of the jail pr- price is at. When you're talking about the holding cells and the booking area, that's the most expensive part of the jail.
So, you know, a lot of that is just space, isn't it, Sheriff?
I mean, it
doesn't cost a whole lot to put a bunk bed and a table and things like that in a bar room, does it?
No, it's just the labor cost and the cost of materials now is what's really made things expensive. But we'll see. Maybe we'll come in. Maybe we'll be fortunate enough to find some contractors out there that's needing some competitive business and give us a good price to build the jail for us. We desperately need it right now.
Well, and maybe too, but up at that point in time that this ridiculous prices on building materials, any type of wood product, and I don't know about concrete work and things like that, if that's gone sky highs like the wood products have, but that we might look up on that and the actual building costs come down because of this inflated prices in the industry right now.
Yeah, there's a waiting period on a lot of metal too. Like our plans was a metal building, outer shell being a metal building, and I think some of the wait times on the metal right now is a 9-month waiting period.
So they're on a ship.
Yep.
You know, that's one of these old things when we come up to that built-in USA thing again.
Yep.
Well, Sheriff, you got any other hot topics we need to talk about a few minutes?
I just like to thank all the volunteers and the people who helped out during the last weekend storm that we had that hit the western part of the county. We had some damage out towards Hermie Springs area. A lot of trees down, some chicken houses damaged, and a couple of residences had some damage. But we're thankful that no one was injured or hurt. But things can be replaced, but thank goodness nobody was hurt during that
well,
storm.
Have we had the storm folks in to try to ascertain whether or not we had a tornado down there? They've been by to check that?
Yeah, they did. They came in, I think it was maybe Monday, Tuesday, I guess it was. And they determined it was a EF1, and the wind speeds of that was, I think they estimated, 105 miles per hour, something like that, and everything. So it was a, like the sheriff said, you know, we were very blessed that we didn't have no injuries or anything, and we had a lot of volunteers that morning that showed up with their fire departments and the rescue squad, and even the sheriff department had a lot of folks out there and everything helping, because Highway 52, a certain section down there was pretty much shut down, and because a lot of trees down across the road and everything. So again, we thank them, everybody, and our thoughts and prayers certainly goes out to our neighbors up in Kentucky and then too in Tennessee, out in West Tennessee. I know Wheatley County got hit pretty hard out there, and so we certainly want to keep them in our prayers as well.
And that designation is very important, isn't it, Mayor?
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Now that makes a big deal on low cost rebuilding loans,
yes,
some grants and things like that.
FEMA to step in and to help. And I think the president was yesterday up in Kentucky looking over some of the hardest hits. I think in Mayfield, Kentucky was one of the harder hit areas, as well as Bowling Green. I think this morning they still had in Bowling Green they still had one young lady that they hadn't found yet. So and again, you know, our prayers goes out to all those folks up that way. Never mind.
You know, I think, you know, too, Mayfield is a familiar name to lots of people in Clay County. Lots of folks, grandmas, great-grandmas, grandpas, either went to Franklin, Kentucky, or they some visit, they married a young lady up there, and great-granny or great-grandpa was from Franklin, Kentucky. I know it's very familiar to a lot of the families here in Clay County that have relatives up in that area.
And we were in the meeting yesterday with the, as Dr. Young was mentioning a moment ago, and a lot of the county mayors and executives there, we were standing around talking about that situation, and they said, how would you feel just to walk in that next morning after the storm and see your courthouse go? And that's what happened to them up
right.
The upper level of the courthouse up there was just taken off and everything. So, I mean, we have been very blessed right through here, and again, you know, I don't know how you'd react to that. You just have to react, I mean, you know, as far as that goes, but these storms are, you know, we certainly don't want to take them lightly, that's for sure, because you never know. And just always try to find a safe place. And anytime that we have those warnings that comes out and everything, just be sure to take them serious and everything.
Yeah, I know we had lots of folks here in Clay County that actually listened to the warnings this time and got down in the lower rooms and in the corners and in the bathrooms.
Absolutely.
Because I know it was pretty scary there for a while.
And before we leave, if I could, I got some scheduling, rescheduling dates I'd like to share with everyone.
Yes.
The upcoming county commission meetings, the county planning meeting that's normally the last Monday night in the month has been canceled due to the holidays. And I'm pretty sure we did this last year as well, but where the holidays fall that this time on our policy is the employees gets the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off, and then the county commission meeting has been moved out to the 10th of January due to the New Year's holiday and everything. So county commission will come back in session January the 10th and everything. So we want to make sure everybody's aware of that and invite everybody to come out and be to the meetings and everything.
Okay, and we missed one thing there with Judge White taking over. What about Monroe, Mrs. Monroe? When does she takes over? What, January the 1st?
The way I understand it, the director, Mr. Etheridge, is retiring the 31st of December. So she takes over as being the new director be January 1.
But what's the procedure when she takes over, guys? Is there a swearing in for her, or is it just a confirmation of what the county commission did, or what?
There is a swearing in because that person has to be bonded.
Yeah.
But not like a local elected official. It's a different kind of thing.
Judge White will have to, he'll go through that, have to be sworn in to take the oath of the office and everything, so that's to be done before then. So, we'll get that taken care of and everything.
Got to get him in first then.
I'm kind of proud of Judge Monroe. Of Judge Monroe now becoming the director of schools. While I was principal here, there has now been three of the students who were students while I was principal who have become directors of schools. And I'm proud of all three of them. One other thing we might mention here is what's coming up for this next year. Now, we've had lots of people to come by the chamber and put in applications for jobs. And then we scan that application and we send it out to about 100 employers. Now, this week we started calling those people to check with them to see how many of them have found jobs. Now, we didn't get all of them by any means, but of the group that we've been able to reach, 77% of them now have jobs. And some of them directly because they fill that application out. So we want to urge people, if you've not got a job and if you're looking, come by the chamber and fill out an application and we'll see if we can't get you squared away with a job. And if you need some extra help with training or something like that, let us know and we'll see if we can't put you in contact with people who do that kind of work. So if you're unemployed, give us a call, and we're there to help you.
Okay, now, Mayor, have we got any other major projects coming up this next year that you can speak of right now, or are we still just kind of working on the jail and a few of those things?
Yeah, we got, that jail is one of our bigger projects that's been ongoing for several years now, and like the sheriff said, we're in great hopes that that will come into fruition to where we can go forward and everything. And then Dura Plastics, they've took on a new, and I think Dr. Young spoke to this year right back and everything, a new owner. So we are looking forward to them increasing their employment. And also we were able to do, with the IDB for Dutch Craft, we were able to do a PAIC loan for Eli and them down there. And I think the ID board that will come up before them probably next week. Is that right, Doc?
That's right.
On that, where that they're going to obtain a new building and where that they plan on increasing some employment if they can find the help and everything. I think we're looking at hiring maybe about 20 more people if they can find them and everything. So, got a lot of things coming down the pike and everything. So, a lot of a lot of businesses out there are looking to increase employment. And like Dr. Young said, if you ain't got a job, stop by the chamber, put in an application, and they'll take that and they'll shoot it out to over 100 employers out there. And it seems to be working pretty good at this time. And we just, a lot of things, that, like I said, you know, is coming down the pike. And also, we're still under this pandemic, Thomas. And
we don't want to forget that for sure.
No, and it's been a hard couple of years, 18 months, 20 months right now. And so I want to thank everybody for the efforts that they put forth as the old saying is, just keep your head up and everything, because we got a lot of folks that are still suffering from that. I know Dr. Young made mention of our property assessor, T. Kittle, and there's others that are out there that are suffering right now from this virus, and we certainly want to keep them in our prayers. I do have something, if I've got a minute, to bring up. Just got this, and I want to pass this on to everybody. It's the Federal Emergency Management Agency COVID-19 Funeral Assistance. And unfortunately, you know, we've had a lot of our citizens that have passed away due to COVID. And so they've come up with some funding out there to assist you in funeral expense. And there's an 800 number here, or a 1-844 number, that is dedicated helpline for that. And you can call down at the office, and I can give you a copy of this, or I can give you the number, and you can call that. And they have a helpline there that can help you get set up and tell you what, you know, the qualifications is to get assistance if you've had a loved one to pass away due to the fact of COVID and everything. So the number is 1-844-684-6333. And I know, if you're like me, a lot of times people will give that number out over the live radio or whatever, and I ain't got a pencil to write it down. So, but if you want to call down to the office at any time, and we can pass that number on to you and everything. So hopefully you know that could be something that maybe can help some folks out in a situation that is has been a hard situation for them. Anytime, you know, we've all got family members that have been certainly affected by this terrible virus that we're continuing to battle through and everything. But Lord be our helper, we're going to get through this.
And I've had some folks ask about, you know, our normal Christmas programs here. And, you know, the mayor and I, we looked up there, and, you know, to have a successful show, we got to put a whole bunch of people sitting
right
next to each other up there. And this is really not the time to be doing that right now.
Yeah,
but hopefully a little bit later on in the spring, if we can ever get this thing conquered a little bit, we'll have some kind of special event.
Oh, absolutely.
Here.
And I respect you for that, Thomas, because you did come to me and ask me, and you said, here's what I think, and I wholeheartedly support you in that, and thank you for that.
And, you know, there's lots of things, you know, we can look forward to. And, you know, we've got to build on these past 2 years, and I think in some ways, you know, it has done some good things. It's made us appreciate that we've taken for granted for so long, that, you know, that we got kind of taken away from us all at once. And it's also showed us how to, like I said, to really appreciate some of the things we'd forgotten about that we were able to do, and the way people help each other in communities like this. And we said, when the storm damage or anything like that, you know, usually you have to turn people away. There's so many people that are wanting to help. But guys, look like we have just about reached the end of the program, and I guess I've got a name to add to the birthday list here this morning, Mr. Todd Jolin. I think someone got a message saying this is his birthday, so we'd like to wish him a happy birthday also. But according to our non-computerized selection system, Miss Peggy Davis has won the gift today. So,
happy birthday, Miss Davis. Miss Peggy, we always called her Miss Peggy.
Yeah, Miss Peggy. And we won't be having a radio show next week. This Christmas week coming up, and the holidays, so we will take the week off, and we'll play some good music during this period of time. But we're looking forward to everyone again when we make it back, and we'll do that, good Lord's willing, this same time, same channel, here on WVFB FM 101.5. Five Kicks Country. We've got most everything put back up in here, getting ready to shut the doors down.
Say Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas to everyone. Happy New Year coming up.
Absolutely.
And with that, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you again the next time we're here on the Clay County Corner. And with that, good day, Clay County.